Okay, thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Now we'll get going, and hopefully we can finish up Revelation 4 tonight and move into Revelation 5, and that is the sealed book. So let's spend a few moments in prayer, preparing ourselves for our study tonight. We need to continue to be in prayer for so many people in America. We need to be in prayer for our president. I have come to the conclusion that of all the people around George Bush, he does not have a very good press agent. He just doesn't have somebody that's out there. I could answer the question so much better for George than even George is doing and defending himself. He stumbles on all of these attacks, and he doesn't get down to the facts of that he had the mayor of New Orleans, he had the governor of Louisiana on Air Force One, and he told the mayor, they were talking, and the mayor just said, look, I'm getting off the plane, and y'all decide what you're going to do. And George Bush, the president, said, no, you stay right here. The governor and I will go to the back of the plane, and we'll talk. A little later, they came back out, and he said, I've told the governor, we are ready to come in with all the help. And the governor said, she needs 24 more hours. And the mayor couldn't believe it. He just went berserk. But then when he gets on deal, he blames Bush. And he needs a better press agent to bring these facts out as to the laws and what's going on with the law and what he can and can't do and why he can and can't, instead of just up there. I mean, I heard him today, and he just sort of stuttered and talked, well, we need to find out how to better it and how to make this. And no, you stand up and you say, hey, here's what happened. We were there. We came to do it, and they wouldn't let us in. And but we'll just pray for him to get a good press agent. that's our part of all of the things in Hollywood and everywhere else. It's who writes your stuff for you. Who's your press agent? And okay, let's get ready to go into prayer for our study, for our country, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to one of the most essential parts of Revelation tonight. Not so much in the theology, but in what is happening. And I pray that you give me the ability and words to communicate this, the urgency of this, the importance of this in each of our lives. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Revelation 4:8. Just pick it up where we left off. Gigi, I've already done my word on it. Thank you very much. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes round and within. Day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. Now, let's just read the rest of the chapter, and so that we are familiar where we are. So let's just read on into verse 9. Thank you. Verse 9, and when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever. There's so many things that are going on here. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty. And here we have to give glory, honor, and thanks. And then in verse 8, and who is, and who is, who was, who is, and who is to come. And then in verse 9, to Him who lives forever and ever. Same concept, different word. Verse 10, the 24 elders will fall down before Him, the one who sits on the throne, and will worship Him who lives forever and ever. Note the emphasis on that. And will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, For thou didst create all things, and because of thy will, they existed and were created. Okay, verse 8. And the four living creatures, we've talked about them, and I just remind you, anybody who just dogmatically tells you they can identify them, people don't believe it. Just don't believe it. There's a lot of speculation, and people have their ideas, but we don't know. We know what they look like, and that's all. See, what we're doing is we're seeing what John saw. Maybe John didn't even know. Like that glassy sea. John, he just saw a sea that looked like glass. So we come along, and a lot of people want to dogmatically declare what that is. He doesn't tell us what it is. Before the throne, there was a sea. That's what we would have done. Now, you know, I was talking to John Hintz about it, and he said, well, if John had had a bowling ball, he better not drop it on there. But unless you say, what is this, which he didn't, he's just writing because he's been told to write what you see and write what I tell you. And that's what he saw. And so we did a little idea of what it is because of where it occurs again in Revelation. But so we don't know. Now they have six wings. This resembles the seraphim. The seraphim, the highest caliber of angels, have six wings. Point here is that these four creatures are of the highest rank, full of eyes around and within. Here is another feature of Jesus Christ. He sees everything in every direction. He sees into our souls. And this is that concept of his intelligence, the eyes that see, comprehend everything, and know everything, the omniscience of God. And so that's the concept. If you want some time, you can look at 2 Chronicles 16:9. I want to make some progress, so we won't turn to that right now. And they were there. What are they there to do? Here's the important thing. Stop arguing who they are. It's what they did that's important. And look what they did. This is what we want to see. And day and night, they did not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, all ruler, who was and who is. Times through this book that goes on. It's a mindset, people. Praise is a mindset. You have a mindset. This is what he's worthy of. It's a mindset. And you love someone, you just find yourself constantly saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. It's a mindset. It's something that obsesses you. And to praise him constantly is a mindset. Now these four living creatures, the four Zoe, are doing what all members of the human race, indeed all creation, will do. Praise God. Please look at chapter 5, verse 13. Chapter 5, verse 13. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying. So this is all creation praising to him who sits on the throne, even to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. What I want you to note there is that all creation will do this. So what the four Zoe are doing is what will all creation, we will be doing this. If you don't do it now, if it isn't a constant running attitude, it will be for all eternity. Now, I want you to note right off, take a look at it, I want you to know right off, the praise of God begins with who God is, not with what God has done or is doing or is going to do. This is very important. This is how, see, most people, we start off and we praise God for what He's done, even if it's something wonderful like our salvation, or something wonderful like our husband or wife or just our life or health, whatever it may be. It's the way most people do, praising Him. Thank you, praise you. But I want you to get a grip here on some wonderful concept here. They start off with praising God for who He is, not what He does. You can love somebody for what they do, and that's wonderful. But you love them for who they are. You love your husband, your wife, your children. You love someone for who they are, not what they do. That's why a lot of people think, I got to do to earn this love. And that's a shame. You have to do anything. I love you for who and what you are. And this is what we want to do and get into this concept of praise with God. It's not just so much what He does for us, but I want to make it emphasized so that you see it. Praising God for who He is. Good pattern for all of us in praising God. God is holy. People, we could spend hours just on this one attribute. It is essential to grasp just the holiness of God. People, the more we grasp the holiness of God, we grasp why it is impossible for man to be holy before God. If you have a relative view of holiness, then we can do something. We can obey the law. We can be good. But if you grasp what His holiness is, you realize, forget it. I'll never equal that. I'll never satisfy that. I'll never accomplish that. You're on the right track. You're on the right track, and you're ready now to see the importance of faith. One reason people, preachers, churches, denominations, think that you can do something for God and grasp His holiness. That must be satisfied, and we can't do it. So, just dealing with a principle for all of us in our prayer life. When's the last time in your prayer, and me, when's the last time in our prayers that you just used that prayer for nothing other than just to praise Him? You just went into your closet or went alone and or with a husband, wife, friend, and just praised Him for who He is. Just went through the many things that God is to you and praise Him, His holiness, His supreme power, His authority. So that, and here's the importance of this. The more we praise Him for these things and are conscious of these things, we are adamantly aware that there is nothing that Satan or angels or man can do to you that God isn't in control. But if we lose praising Him for who and what He is, we become fearful. We will fear what Satan can do. We will fear what man can do. We will fear. We'll live in just a constant yo-yo type of environment in our soul. But boy, if you grasp and you praise Him for all that He is, just thanking Him. the whole prayer, just thanking him for your being, for your salvation, from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin. Thank them for your husband. Thank them for your wife. Thank them for your children. Thank them for your health, for things you have, for work. Thank them for loved ones and friends. Please remember a principle that we occasionally go over. Those things that you constantly give thanks for are the things you will value. You cannot, in the period of a day, start out the day, but any time in a period of a day, giving thanks for your husband, your wife, for the church, for a friend, for whatever it may be, you're going to value that in your life. You'll value your husband. You'll value your wife. You'll value your Psalm 145, verse 1. As you'll note, it's a psalm of praise of David. It's a psalm of praise by David. I will extol thee, O my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Now, do you see how many times we have it in Revelation 4? We have about two or three times. Here we start off in the first verse, forever and ever. He lives forever. He who was, is, and will be. And all these type of phrases. People, get this into your mind of your eternal life. Life's not over when you and I die. When someone dies. It's forever and ever and ever. Sometimes a frightening thought, maybe. But it's forever. Why? Because He is forever. This is a wonderful concept to get. Now, you will note right off three different words in reference to worship and praise of God. Praise, extol, and bless. So let's just take a look what we have here. We have praise. And then we have extol. And then the third, we have bless. Okay. Three things you want to get into your mind in regard to your own praise of God. This is a great outline for us. It's a mindset. Now, I'm not going to write the Hebrew and all down here. I would if there was some reason for it, but I'll tell you what the Hebrew words mean. The Hebrew word for praise is the title of this book. This book is called Psalms. It comes from Tehillah. We'll put that one on the board since this is the name of the whole book. Tehillah. Okay. We're going to double that. And so we have T. Let's see what radical is with that. Okay, we have this is an E. T E H. Then we have an I, like that. And you see that doubles that L, that little dot there. If that wasn't there, we'd have one L. I love Hebrew. I just enjoyed studying Hebrew. Those kind of things intrigue me. Most of the guys were, oh man, why can't they do? I just love that stuff. And so we have Tahil, and then we double that, L, and then we have A-H at the end. Tehillah. That's your name. That's the name for your whole book, the Book of Psalms. So I put that one on the board. It means laudation. It means hymn of praise. People, it's a mindset toward God. Then we have the PL of the imperfect of room, which means for extol. It means to be high, exalted, to extol God, to exalt God. Then we have the PL for the word bless of Barak. And it means to bend the knee, to bless so as to praise. We do not bless God like we might bless somebody in life. To bless, when with reference to God, it means to worship Him, to praise Him, is what the word means. It's the idea of the bending of the knees, Barak is. And with the bending of the knee, that's your position of worship. Now, there's one more I want to complete here. Look down with me, if you will, to verse 10. Just for one more word. All thy works shall give thanks. This kind of completes the picture for us. And that is to give thanks. To give thanks. And the Hebrew here is yada. It means to revere, to worship, to be thankful, to confess or to acknowledge that which you are thankful for. To express it, to give thanks. In these four words that I have on the board, we have a mindset of praise. People, it's not just something you have to, it's a mindset of praise. Reminding us, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee. Every day. Don't let a day pass when you don't praise Him. And I will praise thy name forever and ever, because this is what we'll be doing for all eternity. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Incomparable. One generation shall praise thy works to another. Okay, praise his works, you pass that down. I just, in a family church, we don't have a church big like that anymore, but the parents pass down to the children, not in a teaching manner, just in day in and day out. Just passing it down, the praise of God to your children. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. On the glorious splendor. See, well, we saw in Revelation how they start off with his essence, who and what he is. You go to what he does. You go to his works and his acts, creation, and so many things. It shows your thinking and you're aware that he is responsible. On the glorious splendor of thy majesty, and on thy wonderful works, I will meditate. Think about them. Let them influence your mind, your soul, indeed your life, your marriage, every part of your being. And men shall speak of the power of thine awesome acts. And I will tell of thy greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of thine abundant goodness, and shall shout joyfully of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful. David's learned that. Slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and His mercies are over all His works. If it wasn't, we wouldn't be here. All thy works shall give thanks to thee. Now, that's what we just read in Revelation 5, remember? All the creation. All thy works shall give thanks to thee, O Lord, and thy godly ones shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men thy mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of thy kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. There's that ideal again, just forever and ever. And thy dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord sustains all who fall. What a great phrase in here. David's familiar with this. I'm not going to get personal to David here, but just remember he wrote this. The Lord sustains all who fall. He doesn't slam dunk. He sustains and raises up all who are bowed down by their fall. The eyes of all look to thee, and thou dost give them their food in due time. Thou dost open thy hand and dost satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. People, we could just go through and develop a theology of the essence of God in this one psalm. These are the kinds of things, if you'd like to study the Bible, just take a psalm like this and do that kind of thing. How many attributes of God, acts of God, all these type of things, and a response to him that he's got to tell others. He's got to not only bless and praise God, he's got to tell others. Verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. Why not? Love is kind. 1 Corinthians 13. So he's kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth. So you can call upon him, but it won't be in truth. We're going to see tomorrow night, or excuse me, Sunday morning, that the Jews sought him, but not in truth. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, and to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. That means to have an awe of him. He will also hear their cry and will deliver them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and forever. Look at chapter 46. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Before it ever comes from your lips, people, this has got to be in your mind. What's happening with the four living creatures, the four Zoe, and then the 24 elders, and then later all of the heavenly hosts praising? It's a mindset. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man, in whom there is no deliverance. His spirit departs. He returns to the earth. His body returns to the earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in it. Well, we know who's in it. Who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoner free. These are all spiritual conditions of us as unbelievers and sometimes as believers. Verse 8, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow. But he rules the way of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. There it is again, forever. Thy God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good. Listen to that, people. It is good to sing praises to our God. People, I'm not taking just wasting time here. I'm ready to go into chapter 5. This is important. That you and I, every now and then, understand this, how important it is to praise him. Praise the Lord, for he is good. For it is good to sing praises to our God. It's good for your soul. It's good for your life. It's good for your mind. For it is pleasant, and praise is becoming. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcast of Israel. He heals the people. You constantly give praise to God, you're going to be drawn to Him. Instead of bad-mouthing your wife or your husband, you praise them, you're going to be drawn to them, and they're going to be drawn to you. It's just unbelievable the effect of a mindset of praise every day in your life, in your relationship with God. Verse 2, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted. This is what happens in life. A lot of people are brokenhearted. And He heals that. And binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He gives names to all of them. People, this is just beyond understanding. Billions of stars in that sky. Now, in Dallas, we don't get to see but one or two. The Milky Way. You look up there and you see the Milky Way. It's made up of billions of stars, just the Milky Way. Billions of stars! He names every one of them. Verse 5, great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. I know sometimes to believers it seems like He doesn't understand and He doesn't care. But people, there's nothing you're going to go through in life that he doesn't understand. He does. He understands everything you're going through. And He's made way for it. He's made provision. This is why we praise Him, even when it doesn't look like He does. Verse 6, the Lord supports the afflicted. It may look like He doesn't, because you're the one afflicted, but He supports the afflicted. He brings down the wicked to the ground. Maybe not when you want, but He does it. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to our God on the lyre. I guess if I had a couple of regrets in life, I don't have very many, but I think if I had one, it's one that I can't sing and I can't play an instrument. I watch Wes over here on the piano, and sometimes I just stand here on Sunday and watch his fingers. And he just, and I'm just going, wow. Just what magic just happens. And I don't know what I did with the money. My mother wanted me to go take some kind of lessons, but I must have done something with them. But it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So he has to listen to me sing with my voice, and that's the way it is. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to our God on the lyre, who covers the heavens with clouds, who provides rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives the beast its food, that's Christ on the cross, and to the young ravens which cry because they can't get their own. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He does not take pleasure in the legs of a man. What is he talking about? When we stand on our own strength. Yeah, it works. What we're going to do. Doesn't like that. The Lord favors those who fear Him. Those who wait for His loving kindness. People, that's the most difficult thing to do. Isn't it? To wait for Him. God will give you 30 minutes to solve the problem. They do it on television sitcoms. So you got 30 minutes to solve the problem. Click. It's tough to wait on the Lord. Our flesh nature doesn't want to wait. Our flesh nature wants to make sure it's done and done now. Now let me show you a little trick on how to make it easier to wait. One, of course, being the power of the Spirit. But two, you continually praise Him. You continually to praise Him, and you'll wait on Him. You're in some very difficult time. Rather than take things into your own hands, you just praise Him for all that He is. And you'll watch. It'll be easier and easier to stay in the Spirit and to wait on Him. To trust Him with the problem. Now, we all have different natures. And it's very wise to know our nature. My nature is very little on waiting. I want things to happen now. And so this becomes difficult. Other people, that's not so difficult. But some people who understand, it's very difficult just to wait. It's a very beautiful concept. But the more we praise Him, it's easier to wait on Him. Verse 11, the Lord favors those who fear Him, those who wait for His love. Because He's going to express His love. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. Note that Mount Sinai is not here. Law's not here. For He has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your sons within you. He makes peace in your borders. He satisfies you with the finest of the wheat. He sends forth His command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts forth His ice as fragments. Hate it when He does that on my car, but He casts forth His ice on as fragments. Who can stand before his cold? He sends forth His word and melts them. He made it hard, He melts it with His word. He causes His wind to blow and the waters to flow. He declares His word to Jacob, His statutes and ordinance to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation. And as for His ordinances, they have not known them. Praise, they being the other nations, praise the Lord. Look at 148. Praise the Lord. There it is again. Starts with the same way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Angels, all that are in heaven, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, all the angels, praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His armies. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all stars of light. Praise Him, highest heavens. Not only is He talking about the actual objects, but representing lower creation, Satan, the angels, various categories. How could He be speaking about just those inanimate things? People, the very fact you and I can look up and see the sun and the moon and all these things, it's a praise of Him. The way He structured His whole thing to stay together. The gravity of His love holding it all together. It's just awesome to behold. Verse 4, praise Him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Now remember, we have the two waterways, one upper and the lower, upper sweet, lower sweet. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He has also established them forever and ever. There's that forever and ever again. He has made a decree which will not pass away, the decree of grace. Praise the Lord from the earth. Okay, now we come to yes. Sea monsters, seven-headed dragon, and all the deeps, all the animals, all the Satans, the demons that are in the deeps, fire, and hail, snow, and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. People, we don't need to get in fear about these things. It almost takes makes it sound like you're not sympathetic in a right way, and that's an all right term, of what's going on, like in the southern part of the United States. When you just sit back and you read a psalm like this, He's in control. This was not an accident. God didn't tune out for a little while and all havoc broke loose. He's in control. It gives you a state, a little of peace when this happens in your life, that He is in control. So, verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth, the sea monsters and all the deeps, fire, hail, snow, clouds, stormy winds, fulfilling His word, mountains and all the hills, fruit trees and all the cedars, beasts and all the cattle, creeping things and winged fowl, kings of the earth and all the peoples, princes and all the judges of the earth, both young men and virgins, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone, look at this, for His name alone is exalted. We're going to have a lot of phrases in Revelation. Nobody knows His name but Him. His name is written here and there. It's going to become very important. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He has lifted up a horn for His people. Praise for all His godly ones, even for the sons of Israel, a people near to Him. Praise the Lord. And you're near to Him, and you praise Him for that. 149. Look how it starts off. Praise the Lord. There it is again. Sing to the Lord a new song. We'll have a new song in Revelation. Sing to the Lord a new song. And His grace and His praise in the congregation of the godly ones. Let Israel be glad for His Maker. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their King. Let them praise His name with dancing. Let them sing praises to Him with timbrel and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the afflicted ones with salvation, deliverance. Let the godly ones exalt in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and the two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters. We'd have to study this and what was going on. To execute on them the judgment written. This is an honor for all His godly ones. Praise the Lord. And finally, 150. Last of the psalm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds in your life. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Got a little band going here. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pike. Got a full orchestra now. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breathed praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, in the time we have left, I don't guess we're going to finish chapter 4, but that's okay. This is important to me. What I want to do now in closing tonight, I want to share with you some psalms that are very important to me in this motif, in this aspect, that made an impact on my life, my mindset, especially in times of turmoil and things aren't working out just the way that you might want them to. Now, in most of these psalms we're going to look at, we're just going to read a few verses. We're not going to read all the psalms. But I do encourage you, if you're ever in turmoil or in great, even in great happiness, these are some of the psalms you might want to turn to and just read. Read them sometime when you just sit back. It's cold outside, you have nothing else to do. These are some beautiful psalms just to pull out and read. I'd like you to turn, first of all, to Psalm 89. It's a long psalm. We're not going to read it all. Psalm 89. Okay. I will sing. Think of some of the things now that you want to sing about, praise Him about, and thank Him about. I will sing of the love or the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations I will make known Thy faithfulness with Thy mouth. People, I wish I had time, I could take time, and we'd just start making a list of all the things that we've, even from the psalms we've read to these psalms. And that's what you might want to do sometime. Just make a list of all the things, just like right here, His love and His faithfulness. Two things in one verse. Verse 2. For I have said, loving kindness will be built up forever. In the heavens, Thou will establish Thy faithfulness. Here we see the close relationship of his love and his faithfulness. If we had time, we would study God in that respect. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your seed forever. I will build up your throne to all generations. And the heavens will praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies is comparable to the Lord? All of the angels, fallen and elect, not even to be compared. Who is among the sons of the mighty that is like the Lord? There's no one like him. He's not just the greatest people. There's no one even like him. Don't ever get this comparative or relative concept in your mind. He's not the greatest. There's no one even compared. He is great, if you want to use that word. O God, greatly feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all those who are around him, the 24 elders, the four Zoe. O Lord God of hosts, who is like thee, O mighty Lord? Thy faithfulness also surrounds thee. Thou dost rule the swelling of the sea. Notice how the sea keeps coming up, and I hope you know why. Who's casting that sea? When its waves rise, thou dost steal them. When Satan comes up to cause havoc, it is God who will steal him. When Satan comes in to destroy your marriage, it is God, if you will let him, who will come in and quieten it, who will cause that to be defeated. Comes in to break your spiritual momentum, whatever it may be. Verse 10. Thou thyself didst crush Rahab. Now that's one of the names of the seven-headed dragon. Thou thyself didst crush Rahab like one who is slain. Thou didst scatter thine enemies with thy mighty arm. The heavens are thine. The earth also is yours. The world and all it contains, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tahar and Hermon shout for joy at thy name. Thou hast a strong arm. The hand is mighty. Thy right hand is exalted, Jesus Christ. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of thy throne. Love and truth go before thee. So you just make a long list of things to praise him about. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, they walk in the light of thy countenance. In thy name they rejoice all the day. And by thy righteousness they are exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and by thy favor our horn is exalted. Our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our King to the Holy One of Israel. Okay, you can read the rest if you want. Look at Psalm 107. Just sharing with you some personal psalms. Psalm 107. Not going to read a whole lot here. Let's read verses 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks. Now, this time, thanks. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. Verses 8 and 9. Let them give thanks. See, verse 1, give thanks. Verse 8. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his love and for his wonders to his sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul. Look at verse 15. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his love, for his wonders to the sons of men. Just want you to see, giving thanks for his love. Look at verse 20. He sent his word and healed them. His word is Jesus Christ. Christ is God keeping his word. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. That's where we were headed. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for the wonders, his wonders to his sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. Tell it to others. Look at verse 28. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. This is what you might do sometime. And he brought them out of their distresses. He crushed the storm. He caused the storm to be still. The storm is the thing that has crushed your soul. The things that made you cry out in verse 28. Look what he did to it. He caused that storm that caused you to cry out to be still, so that the waves of the sea were hushed. The enemy is taken care of. Then they were glad because they were quiet. They waited. So he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his love, his loving kindness, and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them extol him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him at the seat of the elders. And finally, verse 43, the last verse. Who is wise? Let him give heed to these things. That's the wise person. Person that praises and thanks God. And consider the loving kindness of the Lord. Look at Psalm 108. Psalm 108. Let's just read a little bit. My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing. Now we're going to sing. I will sing praises, even with my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to Thee, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to Thee among the nations. For Thy loving kindness is great above the heavens, and Thy truth reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and Thy glory above all the earth, that Thy beloved may be delivered. Deliver with the right hand and answer me. Look at Psalm 117. We're almost through. Not that I'm happy about that at all. Psalm 117. We're going to read all of this psalm. We're going to read the whole thing. All right. Praise the Lord, all nations, Gentiles. Laud him, all peoples, for his loving kindness. Do you see that keep coming up? For his loving kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord. Now, Psalm 118. Let's just read a little bit. Give thanks. Now we're going to give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let Israel say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let the house of Aaron say, his loving kindness is everlasting. It means the priestly tribe. Oh, let those who fear the Lord say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Look at verse 27, please. Verse 27. The Lord is God. He has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I give thanks to thee. Thou art my God, I extol thee. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And one that I love and value, let's look at Psalm 136. We'll just read a little, and then we'll close. But I encourage you sometime just to sit down and read it. Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to God of gods, for his love, his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who alone does great wonders, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who made the heavens with skill, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his loving kindness is everlasting. He did all this out of love, is the idea. To him who made the great lights, for his love is everlasting. Loving kindness is everlasting. The sun to rule by day, for his love is everlasting. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And then he just goes on and on and on. So this is a mindset that we're going to see in Revelation. We're seeing it in chapter 4, we'll see it in chapter 5, we'll see it over and over and over. The singing of praise to who and what God is, and for what he does and what he will do. But I just hope you get a mindset of praise for him, first of all. Praise of who he is, and then a praise of what he does. Let's close in a word of praise. Wes, we're going to close in a song. I just made up my mind, so if you'll come on over. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you together. As a group of assembly of believers, we praise you for who and what you are. We praise you for your love, for it is great. We praise you for your love because it is everlasting. Which means, Heavenly Father, that it isn't withdrawn when we're bad and when we fail. It's always there. It cannot be withdrawn. That's the wonder of your love. And we praise you, Father. Thank you for the time we've spent looking at Psalms of Praise tonight. I pray that this will be in our heart and our mindset to praise you every day. In Christ's name, amen. Let's just stand and sing the first and last. There's not many of us. Hymn number one, you'll see why. Oh, we need some hymns. Why don't you just be praying it? Hymn number one.